welcome to Ask the Doulas with Gold Coast Doulas. I'm Kristen, and I'm here today with my former birth client, Maddie Kioski, and we're here to talk about her personal birth story. Welcome, Maddie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, we talked a little bit about why you chose hypnobirthing in a previous podcast. So tell us about your birth story. Like, how did you know you were in labor? Give us all the details. And I was lucky to be there.
Yes,
so
it was wonderful to have you there. I went into work on a Wednesday, and I was due July 18th, and it was July 13th. And for some reason, I just kind of thought, like, well, no, you know, it's not going to happen yet.
Right.
And I went to work. I had a normally scheduled, you know, weekly appointment with my midwife. So I went at 10:30, and, you know, I'd been kind of grouchy all day and just felt a little off, but did not think about it at all. I'd been having practice labor for a few weeks, so
yes.
I really wasn't noticing anything different. And I went to my appointment and sat down. She said, "How are you feeling?" And then I started bawling. And
oh.
I said, "I just feel so confused by my body."
Yes.
And she was like, "Well, let's just, you know, go take a look. How about we just take a look?" And
right.
So then we went, and she did an exam, and she said, "Girl, you're 6 to 7 centimeters.
Right.
And I was like, "What?" And I started crying again. And then I said, "Well, what does that mean?" Even though I'd been through hypnobirthing, I knew what it meant, but it was just so unexpected. I was so far along already. And so she was fantastic. She was so wonderful. And was like, "Well, means you're going to have a baby today." And,
right.
You know, I put you go have some lunch. And so I called my husband, and he was working, and I told him I'm 6 to 7 centimeters. And he said, "Well, what does that mean?"
Right.
And I called my mom, who was coming, and she said, "But wait, what does that mean?"
Yeah.
So we were all pretty taken off guard, because it wasn't like I'd woken up and said, "You know, I think something's happening." Nobody was really prepared. Like, "Hey, I'm 6 to 7 centimeters.
So." Right. I couldn't believe when I got the call. I was like, "What?"
Yeah. So I went and got, you know, some lunch and drove myself to the hospital and parked on the 5th floor of the parking structure and waddled all in. And and you showed up. You were the first one. And we went up to the room. Fortunately, since I'd already had the exam, I didn't have to, you know, go through and wait for 20 minutes for them to monitor me or anything. And
that's so nice to skip triage and go right up.
Yeah. So we went up to the room, and it was not bad for a really long time. You know, I think my body was doing a lot of the work as far as maybe turning baby or getting more effaced, or, you know, and so having done hypnobirthing, I knew that dilation is not the only factor that you need to pay attention to. So I was able to just kind of relax and say, "All right, you know, it's going to happen when it happens." And you were there. You did a lot of hip squeezes for me, which was really fantastic for that counter pressure, because I was having back labor.
Yes.
My husband's not able to do those with his wrists.
Right.
So that made a huge, huge difference. And we just kind of hung out, and I listened to my hypnobirthing, and I listened to some relaxing music. And so I guess my appointment was at 10:30, and he wasn't born until 10:45. So, I mean, it was a while, but...
Right. But for a first-time mom, it was mm-hmm. pretty quick.
Right.
And it's one of the few calls I get in the daytime hours. So most of the time I get a call at like 2 a.m., 11 p.m.
Right. So we, you know, things started to get, they ramped up some, and then I started, you know, noticing them more. But none of it was overwhelming. One thing that we talked about in hypnobirthing was, you know, breaking the amniotic sac and kind mm-hmm. of, you know, that's protection for baby. And so I didn't want to do that. Didn't really feel like there was any reason to.
Right.
And so the contractions really weren't bad. The surges mm-hmm. weren't overly painful, overwhelming. And so my midwife worked her full day at the office and then came in, and so then she checked me again quite a bit later, and then she did accidentally break the amniotic sac. And then after that, things got pretty intense.
That can intensify a lot.
Yeah. So, but I think from that time, my water broke until the baby was born, I think it was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. So doable. I spent a lot of the time in the tub, and that felt really great. My husband was able to just use the hand shower, mm-hmm. and having that, you know, the different points of pressure, I think kind of helps take your mind off of it to some extent.
Yes.
The water makes it a little less intense. So I really liked to be in there. And then when we got out, she said, you know, I want to check you.
Right.
And I was group B strep positive. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to do another round of antibiotics. And that had been one thing that when I found out, I was super devastated because I wanted to labor at home for as long as possible. You know, I didn't want to have to come in before 6 centimeters. And we had made the plan that, you know, if I came in and I wasn't 6 centimeters, I didn't want to know what I was at.
Yes.
But I would just, you know, not go home. You could know, my husband could know, and then we could make the decision, let's walk around a little bit or you know,
right.
just not be admitted. But because I was already 6 to 7 centimeters, mm-hmm. when I was checked, you know, we went right in after I got lunch, went right in and got admitted. So I was able to get those antibiotics in.
Yes.
So then once I got out and she checked me again, she broke my water, and then it got intense. And then it was really just, I felt very internal, you know, it was not a lot of talking. And it was, I think right after it broke, I kind of got that point where I'm like, oh no, I can't do this.
Right. Which most women go through right. with unmedicated births. It's
right.
like, oh,
right.
transition.
However, as soon as I had that thought, like I have a distinct recollection of, oh no, I can't do this. No, wait. That means I'm really close.
Yes.
That means I can do this. And so then I really tried to just focus on my breathing because we talked about that and learned and practiced about getting those breaths in. And I did end up struggling with that. Mm-hmm. But having you, having my husband, having my midwife all saying, all right, this is the birth you prepared for. Like,
yes.
you can do this. Just take those big breaths. You know, breathe and focusing in on those voices mm-hmm. helped me to kind of get back on track, get it under control. So we tried a lot of positions for delivery, which mm-hmm. that was one big thing. I had changed providers pretty early on.
Yes.
From an OB who said, you're only allowed to birth on your back. And I said, I want the freedom to do whatever position feels comfortable for me.
Right.
And for my baby and my body. And so I ended up doing a lot of my laboring and pushing, leaning over the back of the bed.
Right.
On my knees. And that definitely felt like the best position for me. Mm-hmm. We tried on the side with the peanut ball. And
I remember trying a lot of different positions. And it's all about listening to your body.
Right. And my body was saying, this does not feel good.
Right.
So let's
don't do that. Right.
So I spent a lot of time there. Mm-hmm. And then I got to a point where I just remember feeling like so hot. And so, you know, just like put as much, like as many ice cold washcloths on me as possible.
Yes.
I was so hot. But I was just kind of getting right there to the end. It was like mm-hmm. right at the end. And so then my midwife had said, okay, you know, I want to check you after this next surge. And so I want you to roll over. And I already knew I was crowning, but I couldn't really explain it at that point. I'm like, no, he's there.
Right. I feel it.
He's right there. So I did end up flipping over, and that was okay on my back. And that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And what was helpful was the nurse that was there, she had said, do you want a mirror? And I had said, no, I don't want a mirror. And then she said, well, reach down and feel your baby. And then so like when you could feel, he's like right there, more than just like, oh, I feel it with my body, but like actually like touching it with your hand, like he's almost here.
Right.
That kind of gives you a little reinvigoration and just, you know, I'm right there at the end. So I was able to catch my baby and put him right on me and do optimal cord clamping. And it was fantastic. Just beautiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he was born on July 13th at 10:45 p.m. So it's about 12 hours from when I figured out that I was in labor.
Right.
Till he was born. And, you know, it was being just relaxed about the whole process and recognizing it's going to happen when it happens and your body's going to do it and trusting your body.
Exactly. Yeah. Trusting your baby and your connection mm-hmm. with your own body and your baby, because mm-hmm. it's the two of you working together mm-hmm. along with, of course, your partner mm-hmm. and support team.
So the very first thing I ended up saying after Charlie came out was, good job, buddy. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like he was a part of it too. And
exactly. Babies work so hard. So they have to turn in the canal and there's, they're exhausted. You're exhausted.
Exactly. There's a lot happening. So it was beautiful.
It really was. It was an honor to support you. So how did it go with the skin to skin time and breastfeeding as a first time mom? Let's talk about some of the, just how you felt bonding in that first golden hour.
That was fantastic that I could do this, you know, do skin to skin right away.
Yes.
I didn't feel pressured to, you know, to stop. That was super important. I did have some postpartum bleeding. And so, mm-hmm. you know, while all that was taken care of, not being separated from my baby was so big. So I could, you know, just focus on him. And so that part was wonderful. We got all cleaned up. The breastfeeding definitely was more difficult. So I have one side that's inverted normally.
Yes.
And so baby really struggled to latch on that side, but he also struggled on the other side. So I was fortunate that Spectrum has CLCs on staff 24 hours a day.
Yes.
And so they were able to come in at like 3 a.m. and, you know, kind of focus on what's going on, why is baby not latching. We did end up using a nipple shield.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty demoralizing for a while because we used it until 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I went to some LHA League meetings and things mm-hmm. like that, and really it's important to kind of have those contacts ahead of time.
Yes.
Know where the meetings are, know when the meetings are, know an IBCLC that's recommended in case you are having those issues. You're not having to try and figure that out when you're exhausted and you're feeling downtrodden and things aren't working. It's really hard to try and find that when you're mm-hmm. already struggling. So having figured that out ahead of time, I was able to, you know, go to a meeting, go meet with a lactation consultant again. And so we did stick with it. And then he, at 6 weeks, which is pretty common, that he just kind of like got it.
Right.
So we got in the tub, you know, where it was warm and it was kind of womb-like, and got rid of the nipple shield and it worked.
That's amazing that you were so persistent that, it paid off.
Yeah. So, and we just weaned at 2 years and 11 months.
Awesome. So, congrats.
Thank you. So that was exciting. We had a fantastic nursing journey. And, you know, if you really stick with it and arm yourself with that support system, you know, you can do it. So I feel like so many women don't have that support system. My mom nursed. Mm-hmm. My sisters nursed all of their children. So having that support system makes a huge, huge, huge difference.
Yeah. And like you said, just taking advantage of lactation while you're in the hospital, mm-hmm. even for moms who have a great first latch and things are great, to just have someone see your holds and, mm-hmm. you know, right. answer any questions you might have. It's a resource that I highly recommend anyone take advantage of, if they're birthing in the hospital, of course.
Right. And that was important, is that they did come and they came multiple times mm-hmm. to check on us and did work on holds and really understanding, you know, here's another technique, here's another hold to try if this one isn't working. So you have those skills in your toolbox to pull out. Okay, this isn't working, let's try this. This isn't mm-hmm. working, let's try this other one. So that definitely was helpful for me as well.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing your story. Do you have any parting words for our audience?
I would just say, you know, do your research. You know, I think it's easy to just say, my doctor is going to do what's best for me. My doctor is going to, you know, this is what happens. This is how it goes. But it doesn't have to be. You can be such an advocate for yourself.
Right.
And you can surround yourself with other people to advocate for you so that you can get the type of birth that you want, so that you have the support that you need. You know, even if you have a partner that's not able to be there, you know, in the way that you need, you can, you know, you can get a doula. You can have a midwife who really, you know, births in the hospital. It's really not, you know, not different.
Exactly.
I know people that really think, oh, they're not a doctor, or, you know, so it's totally different. So I think just really doing your research and asking other moms who have been through it. Their moms are very willing, good
yes.
or bad, to give you their advice. So, you know, get as much information as you can so that you can make your own informed decisions.
Yes, and thank you for sharing your mm-hmm. story, because other women want to hear personal, especially positive stories. Mm-hmm. I feel like when it comes to birth, you hear the dramatic or tragic. Everyone likes to tell negative stories, and there aren't enough positive. And a lot of women in pregnancy want to surround themselves with light
positive,
and positivity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really appreciate you coming in and listening to our podcast as
thank
well
you.
Over time. So thanks so much, Maddie. And you've been listening to Ask the Doulas with Gold Coast Doulas. We are found on SoundCloud and iTunes and goldcoastdoulas.com. These moments are gold.